Hey, you're tuned in to the Verve Podcast live from the heart of Las Vegas, Nevada. Thanks for listening, and viva la Verve!
If you fail to plan, you plan to fail. Those are the words of Benjamin Franklin. Now, a budget is a plan that tells your money every last cent where to go. People who live on a budget are able to plan. They're able to plan for vacations, college funds, car repairs, even unexpected expenses, believe it or not, can be planned for. But people who don't live on a budget oftentimes find themselves with too much month at the end of the money. Maybe you can relate to that. Now, you might say to yourself, look, nobody lives on a budget these days. But to that, the budget guru, Dave Ramsey himself, would say, maybe you should live like no one else today so that you can live like no one else tomorrow. That's what Dave Ramsey says about that. In other words, having a plan for your money today will ensure the greatest return on your investment for tomorrow. If you fail to plan, you plan to fail. Are you an entrepreneur? Maybe you like have this desire to start your own business someday. You should develop a business plan. Now, a business plan is a guide that kind of provides a roadmap for your business. It helps you to outline goals and it details how you plan to achieve those goals. And you might think to yourself, well, Dave just doesn't understand that this idea of mine, it's gold, Jerry, gold, I tell you. It's foolproof. Well, if you've ever watched Shark Tank, you'll find out that it's not a good idea to step into a business without a solid business plan, because investors realize that if you fail to plan, you what? You plan to fail. Are you a student here today in the fall semester? Yeah? I was that student once, and I received at the beginning of the year, or the beginning of the semester, I received a class syllabus just like everybody else. And the syllabus, it's a plan or an outline for how you can be successful in your semester in this particular class. It outlines assignments and due dates and stuff like this. And the professor had put this together ahead of time and provided it to all of us students ahead of time to help ensure that we were best positioned to succeed or possibly fail if you paid no attention to the plan. So there I was, staying up all night, the night before the big paper was due. Why? Failure to plan. Any of you ever been there? Yeah, failure to plan. That was me. And my failure to plan was a plan to fail. And so, what happened? My failure to plan led to, I passed, all right? I stayed up all night, I beat the odds, and I passed, but I paid the price the next morning when my wife and I, we were going to school together, and we had an early morning lecture class where we sat in the second row, and I am fighting like crazy as I sit there to take very studious and detailed notes, but every fourth or fifth word, and you can look back at my notes, it's hilarious, but there's like this squiggly line that goes down the page where I fall asleep, my wife elbows me, and I'm back up, and I'm right back to taking notes. And all through that class, I was crashing hard. If you fail to plan, you plan to fail, with the random exception. Franklin's statement is true. It's true when it comes to our money. It's true when it comes to our bright ideas. It's true when it comes to our education, and I'm learning that it is especially true when it comes to our time. So welcome to Fight Club, the fight for your time. My name is David, and I am one of the pastors here with Verve. Real glad to be with you today. Now, a show of hands, within the past week, how many of us have either thought or used some form of the phrase, I don't have the time? I don't have the time. Why didn't I get it done? I didn't have the time. I ran out of time. Yeah, I mean, we have, most of us, we've been there within the last week. Here's some news for us. Me too. 24 hours a day. Yeah, 168 hours a week. We have all been allotted the same amount of time. It's just, we all do different things with it. This is why we can look at them and say, they have plenty of time, but we look at our own lives and we say, I don't have enough time. 24 hours a day, 168 hours a week, people. We all have the same amount of time. Now, the difference is whether we choose to spend our time or invest our time. Think about it from the standpoint of money. When you spend your money, you see something you like, and you take your money and you spend it on it, and you acquire whatever that is, and it wears out and it goes away. When you invest your money, however, you invest your money into something and it yields a greater return in your life and brings a form of ongoing satisfaction or contentment, though even that satisfaction and contentment will one day fail. But the question today is, do you have a plan when it comes to how you choose to spend your time? There are probably quite a few people in here that we have a budget for our money, but do we have a plan? Maybe you're required to clock in and out at the office or wherever you work, or maybe you'll get a tardy slip if you are late to class. Maybe you're the one who drives like the neighborhood carpool to get the kids to class on time, and so that keeps you kind of on time. And each of those things is great. It might help or encourage you to manage your time, but they are no replacement for a plan. A plan. Whether it's money, ideas, education, or time, if we fail to plan, we what? I've forgotten. We plan to fail. And I get the feeling that lots of us here today, we could use a solid plan when it comes to the fight for our time, which brings us back to that question, do you have a plan when it comes to your time? Now, there is a close follower of Jesus who dedicated his time to encouraging others to make the most of their time while on earth. And we're going to take a look at something that he wrote to encourage this group of believers in Jesus that lived in this town called Ephesus. So if you do have your Bible with you today, if you own a Bible and you have it here with you today, we are going to be in Ephesians chapter 5, and it's going to begin with verse 15. Now, these letters that we're going to read today, they weren't originally broken up into chapters and verses. That's something that somebody at some point had spent so much time trying to find their way through these scriptures that they thought, I have a great idea. And I think they wrote out a business plan for this. They put a plan together and they put some chapters and some verse numbers by this so we could find our way and not waste our time wandering around. If you'd like a Bible today, they're available back at the Velcro bar. You can also direct your phone to Bible.com and download an awesome Bible app that's free. It's called YouVersion. That's what I use. You can do that, and the verses are going to be on the screen behind me as well. So this is written to a group of believers in a town called Ephesus. And it goes like this. Be careful how you live. Don't live like fools, but like those who are wise. Make the most of every opportunity in these evil days. Don't act thoughtlessly, but understand what the Lord wants you to do. Now, we're going to read this together again one more time because I think that there's actually kind of a hidden formula within these words that Paul writes. It's a solid outline of how you and I can make the most of our time here on earth. Now, a little disclaimer, regardless of whether or not you're a believer in Jesus today, this will work for you. This will work for you. Regardless of whether or not you think that the Bible is relevant to you today, this will work for you. And the secret formula could actually help to transform your life and your time starting today. So as we read through it again, we're going to use a couple of clarifying phrases in place of a couple of the words, all right? So here we go with the updated passage. It says, be careful how you invest your time. The word that was there was live. I would say that how we invest our time is kind of the equivalent of how we are living our lives, right? Time and life kind of go along with one another. So be careful how you invest your time. Don't spend it like fools, but invest it like those who are wise. Make the most of every opportunity in these evil days, and don't act thoughtlessly, but understand what the Lord wants you to do. So, I'd like to spend kind of the rest of our time together working through, or working toward, you could say, a plan. Now, this is a process that I am currently going through, all right? I'm walking through it myself, and this process is based upon the secret formula that is found within that passage that we just read. And it may be at the conclusion of this process today that your plan looks similar to mine. That might be the case. Or yours might look completely different. I'm going to be walking through my process, and I'm going to encourage you to plug in whoever you are in the midst of walking through that process, all right? So for each of us, this process, it should culminate in the development of a plan that guides us in how we invest or how we spend our time throughout the week. And it's a plan that, if followed, it's going to help us to live a more fulfilling life. So you guys up for living a more fulfilling life? You up for that? All right. So since you're following my process today and you're kind of looking over my shoulder as I walk through the process, my process personally begins with prayer, with talking with God. So let's take just a moment. God, I give you thanks for this day and for all these people that are here to watch over my shoulder as we work through this process. My prayer, God, is that not only would I, at the conclusion of this process, have a plan or an outline to help guide me in how I use my time, but that those who are watching on and listening in would also glean some things that can help them in how they invest their time here on this earth. Thank you for this time that we have to spend together, and I ask you would help us to make the most of it in Jesus' name. All right, so to make any formula secret, you have to kind of mix it up somehow, which might be why you didn't quite see the formula in the verse as we read it. It's because it's written backwards in the verse. That's why the formula might be missed by some people. And by the way, the secret formula, it's not all that secret. Some of it actually just makes sense, but Paul put some exclamation points on it in our lives. So Paul writes, that last phrase that he writes says, don't act thoughtlessly, but understand what the Lord wants you to do. Now, let me remind you that Paul is writing to other believers in Jesus. And these believers, back in that day, they called Jesus Lord. And Lord isn't necessarily a word that we use a whole lot here in the U.S., but simply put, to recognize Jesus as Lord means that you're going to give him all the power, all the authority, all the influence over your life. And actually, that's what it means to be a Christian. So if you're here today and you're a believer in Jesus, the question that Paul is encouraging you to ask yourself is, what does Jesus, my master, my ruler, what does he want me to do with my life? Now, if you're here today and you're not a believer in Jesus, excited that you're here today, that's awesome. Verve is for you. But if you're not a believer in Jesus, you've not surrendered your life over to him, I suppose a question that you could ask yourself as you're working through this plan is, what do I, not me, but speaking of yourself, what do I, the master and ruler of my own life, my own destiny, what do I want to do with my life? And the answer to that question is so important because the first thing that we need to do if we want to win this fight for our time is we need to discover our purpose. All right? We need to discover our purpose. Now, the great news for you if you are not a believer in Jesus is the world is your oyster. I mean, you can dream however you want to. You can name whatever you want as being the purpose for your life, as being the first step in this process. Just know that everything else is going to be built upon this first all-important step. The great news, if you are a believer in Jesus, if you are a follower, is that your purpose for life has already been outlined. It's already been outlined and stated by Jesus himself. So, that's right. If you can just be like, whoo, pressure is off. Here is what Jesus wants you to do with your life. He says, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. That is your purpose. And I happen to believe that these two things, love God, love people. Love God, love people. That's my step right there. And these two things are pretty much one in the same. Whenever you start reading through and studying the life of Jesus, you find out that Jesus said, whenever you love people, you're actually loving God. That's what he said. Whenever you've done something for the least of the people, he said, you've done it for me. And whenever you love God, it will result in you naturally loving people. So they're kind of one in the same. And here within the Verve family, we happen to believe that if you choose to live your life with this purpose, loving God and loving people, you will have the potential to turn the world upside down in a good way. But for that to become a reality, we'll need to take the next step, which is define our priorities. So, define priorities. So we have discover our purpose, then we need to define our priorities. And Paul writes to these believers in Ephesus these words. Remember, we're working in reverse from that passage. So he says, make the most of every opportunity. Now, wait a minute. I think you and I know that realistically, we cannot make the most of every opportunity, can we? I don't think so. And I don't think that that is actually what Paul was getting at. I mean, consider all of the opportunities that come your way each and every day. Think about it. Consider how many different types of opportunities come your way. An opportunity to go out for coffee. An opportunity. Oh, there's an opportunity to work late. There's an opportunity to help a friend move. There's an opportunity to go out for a drink. There's an opportunity to binge watch a Netflix show, or there's an opportunity to study for that all-important exam. An opportunity to tinker on the car, to flip our way through Facebook or Pinterest, or to help our kids with math. The opportunities that come our way, they're like endless. So what we do and what we don't do all depends on our priorities. It depends on our priorities. And our priorities are defined by our purpose. That's why that purpose is so important. Now, maybe you've decided that your purpose is to become an Air Force Thunderbird pilot. That's like the dream for you. You're like, that's my purpose in life. I'm going to fly those planes. I'm going to perform those stunts. If that's the case, then based upon my understanding, one of the priorities that you would have to put in place is you need to graduate at the top of your class. That priority would help you and put you on the path toward becoming a Thunderbird pilot. So, opportunity knocks. In opportunity door number one, we have a Fortnite League. That's right, Fortnite. Join the Fortnite League. We stay up all night. That's why we call it Fortnite. We stay up all night playing Fortnite. Join the Fortnite League. Opportunity number two is to join the chemistry study group. Oh boy. Door number one or door number two, based upon my purpose to become a Thunderbird pilot, I have to set some priorities. Which do you think my priorities are going to direct me to do? I'm going to join the study group. I'm going to join the study group. So if, like me, your purpose is to love God and love people, then it would make sense that your priorities would line up with putting you on a path or a trajectory that gives you opportunity to love God and love people. So check out how Jesus' priorities helped to kind of provide him some direction and make the most of every opportunity in his life. This passage we're going to read comes from Luke chapter 4, and there's a doctor by the name of Luke who kind of compiled the memoirs of Jesus, and that's what this is. Luke chapter 4, verses 42 and 43. It's telling about Jesus. It says, "At daybreak, Jesus went out to a solitary place." Now, Jesus actually did this regularly because he made it a priority to spend time with God the Father. It goes on, it says, "The people were looking for him, and when they came to where he was, they tried to keep him from leaving them." Now, these people had been listening to his teachings, they had witnessed his miracles, some of them may have even been healed, and I am sure that they had all sorts of opportunities for Jesus, all sorts of opportunities that were knocking for Jesus. It goes on, it says, "But he said, I must proclaim the news, the good news of the kingdom of God to the other towns also, because that is why I was sent." And he left them. Can you believe it? He left them, but there were all sorts of opportunities. But his priorities directed him on the path that was going to lead toward his purpose. Jesus' priorities helped him to determine which opportunities he was going to accept, not only which ones, but when. And there were times when Jesus actually allowed himself to be interrupted, and there were times when he didn't. And the same is true for us. Whenever you put together a financial budget, you try to build in some emergency funds for those unexpected expenses. The same is true with our time. We can build in some extra time to our schedule so that we're not burning the candle at both ends like so many of us tend to do in certain occasions. So there are going to be plenty of good opportunities that come our way. The trick is discerning which ones are best. And in order to do that, step two, priorities, is essential. We need to know our priorities, and we can base our priorities to a degree on whatever stage of life we find ourselves in. So that's what I'm going to do as I walk through this. Maybe you'll find this helpful. I decided to build my priorities based upon one of the first statements that Jesus made to his closest followers in a document that's called Acts. It's like a history of the beginning of the church. And again, it's Dr. Luke who put all of this together. And he records these words that Jesus spoke. All right. So Jesus said, "You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." Those are the words that Jesus spoke. And as I was doing this exercise, I asked myself, where's my Jerusalem? Because see, geographically, you had Jerusalem that was kind of the center. The surrounding area would be Samaria and Judea. And then you had the ends of the earth. You had all over and wherever. So my question was, where is my Jerusalem? For Jesus' closest followers, Jerusalem was the homeland. So for me, what I decided was that home, I'm just going to put an H right there in the middle, home is where the heart is, home was going to be my Jerusalem. And that would include my kids, that would include my wife, that would include my grandkids. Yeah, that would definitely include them. It would include myself because I am a part of my home, and it would obviously, for my family and myself, it would include God because he is a part of our household. So then I asked, and by the way, if you're writing things down, you could write that out to the side, you know, home, and you can write the names of the people that matter most to you that are a part of that. But the next question is, where is my Judea and Samaria? Working my way outward. And I thought, well, for me, my Judea and Samaria would be the verb staff. I'm going to put that there. And the verb family. That would be you guys. You guys are a part of my extended family, you might say. And it would also include my neighbors. Now, I moved to a new community recently, and I regret to say that I haven't spent enough time in the past taking time to meet and to befriend my neighbors. It just has not happened. So this is something that's different for me as I'm working through what I'm going to do with my time. So in this season of my life, next would be the ends of the earth. What would that be at this season in my life? For me, it is the greater Las Vegas area. The greater Las Vegas area, and it will also include, I'm going to put MM, and that stands for Marble Manor, because Marble Manor is an underprivileged, it serves underprivileged kids, and it's in the greater Las Vegas area. So I thought that could be a part of my ends of the earth as I plan my time at this stage in my life. Understand, yours might look completely different. So what about you? Where's your Jerusalem? Where's your Judea and Samaria, and what would represent for you in your life the ends of the earth? Because once we've discovered our purpose, and once we've defined our priorities, it's time now to design. We're going to design our plan. We are going to design our plan. This is where the rubber meets the road, and Paul says, remember, we're working in reverse on that verse. He says, don't spend it like fools, but invest it like those who are wise. He's talking about your time of life. He's talking about your lifetime. Don't spend it like fools, but invest it like those who are wise. Well, in order to do that, we have to have a plan. What did Benjamin Franklin say? If you fail to plan, you plan to fail. So this is where the plan steps in. And you can be as flexible as you like with this plan. The important thing is that the plan is actually workable for you. Now, mine is still a work in progress, but I'm trying to plan time. I'm trying to plan time with my family. Remember, I'm looking at these priorities over here. I'm trying to invest time with my family, invest time with God, invest time with, specifically now, I'd like to invest time with my wife on a daily basis, talking together, time with my kids in the same way that live in the house on a daily basis. Now, understand, it's not like, oh, it's half hour time, you know, and I'm going to go knock on my kids' door and say, it's time for us to talk. Because that's my plan. No, I'm talking in general, connecting with people in my home on a daily basis. Also, I would say, like with my wife, I'd love to, on a weekly basis, take a walk or two, maybe a date night. That would be nice. On a quarterly basis, I would love to set aside like one or two days where we just escape on a quarterly basis. And then one time a year, and I have these things written down, but one time a year, I'd like to go on a week-long escape with my wife. When it comes to my kids and my grandkids, I'm telling you, here's what happens whenever you have an opportunity to teach here at Verve, is these things actually become real for you leading up to the weekend that you're teaching it. That's why I don't teach on adultery. No, I don't teach on, I don't teach on lots of things because I'm not about that. But in preparing for this whole time thing, I mean, I had thing after thing remind me that, wow, it's important that you invest your time. I went out and I reinvested in a skateboard yesterday with my son because he's been skating, and I thought, you know what, that's something I can get back into, so I invested in a skateboard. I want to spend time with my kids on a weekly basis, on a monthly basis. You get the idea, an annual vacation. I don't need to continue to go into more and more and more detail about my time. I have time with God that I have on a regular morning basis. And by the way, Vince had shared that can like set your trajectory for the day. Vince is our lead pastor, by the way. I apologize if you guys aren't aware of that, but he's our lead pastor. And he shared that time in the morning, it can kind of set the trajectory for your day and give you a positive outlook. So, my plan is personal, and your plan with your time is going to be personal. Just make sure that it's workable. Make sure that it's workable, and then you need to work it. Make sure it's workable, and then you need to work it. Paul writes and says, be careful. Be careful how you invest your time. Now, I don't know about you, but if I really care about this plan that I'm trying to set in place regarding my time, if I really care about my plan, if I really want it to work, I have to work it. But in order for me to work it, I cannot go it alone. So my final step, we have discover your purpose, define your priorities, design your plan. My final step is designate an accountability partner. Ooh. Designate an accountability partner. I need that. You need to have somebody that you can give permission to help you work your plan. And I haven't spoken with her about this yet. Like I said, this has all been coming together throughout the week. But I feel like my wife, Michelle, would likely be my best accountability partner in this particular area of my life. And believe me, I need accountability. You need accountability. We all need accountability. All of us need that. So the steps, one more time, and again, you need to personalize these things for you, but you have discover your purpose. If you're here today and you're not sure what your purpose is, you're not sure about this whole God thing, the next step is designed specifically to help you to discover your purpose. You're like, what's next step? Next step is kind of a class format that takes place every Sunday during our 11:30 experience. So immediately following this experience, you could go out those doors and across the hall to Next Step, and you could take the first step toward discovering your purpose so that you can work your way toward a plan. All right? So the second step after you've discovered your purpose is define your priorities. And these priorities, they're going to help you to make the most of every opportunity. Next, you need to design your plan because, like old Ben Franklin said, if you fail to plan, you plan to fail. And finally, you need to designate an accountability partner, giving them permission to help you to work your plan. Did you know that Jesus himself had an accountability partner? That's crazy, isn't it? Jesus had an accountability partner. Check this out. Again, Dr. Luke writes, this is from Luke 3, verses 21 and 22. It says that when all the people were being baptized, baptism is whenever you're buried in the water and you're raised back out of the water. So while all the people were being baptized, it says Jesus was baptized too. Say, what? It's true, Jesus was baptized. And I'm like, come on now, if Jesus is baptized, then how could I say, oh, I don't need to be baptized? Jesus was baptized, and it says, as he was praying, heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove. Wow. Jesus himself. Check this out. Even Jesus had an accountability partner. Is that crazy? That's a little bit crazy. And this accountability partner helped him to keep to and to stick to this plan that had been put in place at the beginning of time. And this plan was to save and to rescue you and me. That's the culmination of the plan. The path that Jesus walked through this plan based upon his priorities, which were you and me over his very own life, helped Jesus to fulfill his ultimate purpose, which was being our rescuer, dying on the cross for our sins to pay the price that we ourselves could never pay for ourselves. Amazing, right? Jesus basically worked through this same sort of process. And we remind ourselves each week of his purpose and the price that he paid through something that we call communion. Now, communion, if you look around the room, there are these candlelit tables, and on them you're going to find a cup of juice and you're going to find a piece of bread. And the juice represents Jesus' blood that was poured out for us. It was all a part of the plan. It wasn't by accident that he did this. The bread represents Jesus' body that was broken for us. Again, all a part of the plan based upon his priorities to fulfill his ultimate purpose of rescuing us. So the band is going to come out and they're going to lead us in one more song together, and you're invited to stand, you're invited to sing, you're invited to join with them in that. And as they do, if you desire, you can approach those tables and you can take a cup and a piece of bread back to your seat with you, and you can spend a few moments reflecting on your own life and where you're at. Maybe I would encourage you today to consider what you listed in your mind as your ultimate purpose. And I'm hoping for those of you who call yourselves believers in Jesus that you'll land back at that love God, love people mindset. For those of you that are a little confused about your purpose, actually you might be able to use this time if you desire to take a cup and a piece of bread back to your seat with you and just say, I surrender. I don't know what my purpose is, and so I'm turning to you, Father. Thank you for what Jesus did to mend our relationship, and starting today, I'm gonna make you, and loving people my purpose. If you decide that today, we would love to know about it. And there are connect cards on the seats around you that you can scribble a little note and let us know where you're at in that process. Let's take a moment to talk with God. God, thank you for your great love. Thank you that it is a love that never fails, that it goes on and on through time. I ask that you would help each of us here today to make the most of our time while we're here on earth, to honor you with our time, to love you, and to love people. And I believe, God, that in doing that, we can truly experience fulfillment in our lives. We give you thanks that Jesus chose to lay his very life down. He didn't prioritize himself over us, but instead put us over himself and gave himself for us. And that same love is here for us today. We celebrate that love, knowing that we don't have to walk alone, but that ultimately you, God, are the ultimate accountability partner, never leaving us. In Jesus' name.